Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Right.
Yeah.
Have you got another one of these in you?
Should yeah, absolutely. Again? Yeah, of course.
All right. With Paul Tolkinson and Rob Deering.
Let's do it. Part two.
Hey.
Part two of the USA holiday. Hey.
We are still on Honey Marshes.
Yes.
We've come back to the point where we came in. I've got happy memories of you talking about beating
Richard Fraves and Simon Rumsley. Slaughtered. The cross-country massacre.
Warning. Squeaky, squeaky.
Of 1984.
Is that when it was?
Yeah.
So I beat Winston Smith in a race that year.
And
he got really angry and made Mr. O'Brien put me in a box with a load of rats.
Yeah.
1984 comedy there.
Yeah.
Yes, it's the Q&A, because Paul's going away to the USA.
On holiday. And you're going away as well, aren't you? Are you going away?
No.
Well, you're going to Edinburgh, aren't you?
When you get back. Basically, no. I'm going to be in my house.
This is just me going away.
It's just you.
Just me off on holiday with the family.
Although, I'm doing a 10K.
Yes, you are. You're doing the Shoreditch.
While you're away.
You're doing the Shoreditch 10K.
In the USA.
So there'll be race reports. And I'll come back really fit.
Yeah.
Super, super fit. And I'm also recording a podcast when I'm in the States with an author who writes for the New York Times and he's written a really interesting book about American college athletics and training methods. And
so I'll pop, really nice over, book, I'll pop so. Over. I'll see you there for that one, yeah?
Yeah.
Tell me when.
Rob's coming over for that one.
I'm coming over.
That'll be the first podcast I've done on my own, because every now and again, it's very, very rare we're sort of forced to do one on our own.
Yeah.
I've never done one. You've done a few, haven't you?
I've done a couple. Hi.
Yeah.
Hello, mate. Hello, dog.
Hello,
what
strange.
A gorgeous dog.
Strange little dog.
Right, so your questions.
Yes.
This one is for all bikes. Sup May 1.
Right.
And the question is, what podcast do you listen to when you're running? But that's a little cheeky emoji wink.
It's a little bit cheeky.
We don't
listen to podcasts.
No, we don't. We actually don't.
No, we don't. Not while we're running. I do listen to podcasts.
We listen to ourselves doing our podcast.
Yeah.
Sorry, everyone.
Have we not suffered enough?
So, thanks for that.
Thanks for that
cheeky question. Trail or road? What's your favourite?
It's got to be trail for me.
That was Betty, wasn't it? Trails,
yeah, it has to be trails, yeah. I mean, any chance I can get to run off-road.
Yeah.
Which is not to say I love a good fast, flat road race and a lovely fresh bit of tarmac.
Yeah.
But we love a fresh bit of tarmac.
No, and also you do become something of a tarmac connoisseur.
Yes.
I mean, I think it's probably because we live in a city that we crave the country.
Yes.
But I do love the thing about a city run. It's the constant change.
Yeah.
You know, if you're running the country, when I first started running, I went for a run out near Southwold. Oh, look at this, the fields. Actually, I'm still in this first field.
Yes, yeah.
This is a massive field.
This takes ages.
Whereas,
yeah.
You know, you run around Clissold Park, you run up the, or in Edinburgh, you run around the meadows, you think, oh, I've been looking forward to running around the meadows. You run across the meadows, you run out the meadows.
Yes, yeah.
You're running through Brunsfield.
Yes.
Then you find, so it's, you know, it's mixing it up.
And in terms of races, I love a good road race because you get into that rhythm on the road of the uniform terrain.
Holding a pace.
Just, yeah, just really, really nice and enjoyable. Yeah. But for me, it is the trails. It does take more concentration because you've got to look where your foot's landing and all that kind of thing. It's just that communion with nature thing. Yeah. Those runs tend to be more off watch, just run as you feel sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
More exploratory.
I think the best
runs... That's
where
I really, really enjoy myself.
The best runs... This is sort of almost avoiding the question. But the best runs are flat and steady, but not too solid underfoot.
Right.
And involve plenty of sky.
Yeah.
Maybe some water. And and you need to be chased by a pack of dogs.
Look at this huge dog kickoff.
Oh, my God. It's dog off. Dog side story.
Two dog walkers have come face to face on Hackney Marshes.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 dogs.
It's a lot of dogs.
Whole lot of dogs. Dogs.
Aren't they great?
So, yeah, soft underfoot.
Yeah, soft underfoot.
Steady. Hello, mate. Sky, water. See, towpaths aren't very good underfoot, but I love running by a canal.
Yes, yeah.
Or running around a lake.
Yeah.
But then I love running up a mountain, even though... sometimes you're hardly running at all because it's so steep.
Yeah, there's those. There's that run around Osmotherley.
Yeah.
That we run. That's really. It can feel quite barren on the top. If you'd run it on your own, it can feel very desolate. That kind of grey silt.
Yeah.
And the sky and no one there and it's cold. Oh, it might start raining. I do quite like those runs sometimes where you think. This could get dangerous.
Yeah,
you
know? That's right.
When it's wet and cold and you're 5 miles away from any kind of habitation, there's a confrontational nature to that I do quite enjoy, I must say.
Absolutely.
Within reason, hiya.
In the same way that I think that we all love, to a certain extent, getting out on those days when we're running on a beautiful sunny day right now.
Yeah.
But sometimes, you know, being out there in the pouring rain.
It's great,
or just the bleak grey.
Yes,
you know, and just taking it on. I think when someone says, like last week we were talking about country to run across or trail or road, the image of a kind of flat, sandy track that just goes off into the distance across some kind of wide open fell.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Is there in one's head, isn't
it? Yeah, is that with the weather there, it's that obstinacy, isn't it? As much as runners are often quite introverted and they like to be on their own and quite spiritual and stuff, there's that at root, there's an obstinacy to a lot of runners, isn't there? Just like
right.
A kind of
bit of grit.
Determined grit of like just enjoying their unusualness, the unusual nature of what they've chosen to do.
I was going for a run in Edinburgh one year and I said I'd meet a friend of the show, Tom Price.
Yeah.
But I went out to meet him and he wasn't there.
Right.
And it was pouring with rain.
Yeah.
I thought, no, he's not coming, he's messaged me. I didn't have my phone, I don't know, he thought he's left me a text in the flat, whatever. So I went off. And I ran up over Arthur's Seat, and it was, you know, it was Edinburgh rain. It was like someone had opened a tap.
Yes.
And I saw another guy running up near the top, and the look we exchanged was so great. Basically, it was a friendly smile.
Yes.
But what it said in both of us was, idiots.
Yes, yeah.
Embrace of idiots.
Recognition of a kindred spirit.
And I found out later that Tom Price had, of course, simply turned up a couple of minutes later.
Right.
And went for his own completely rain-soaked
run. Yes, yeah.
There's a brilliant pointlessness to the whole endeavour, isn't there?
Yeah, it's lovely. It really is nice, yeah.
So trail or road? The answer is yes.
The answer is both. And also woods, really. Soft running through woods.
Yeah, but not Dolby Forest. Not again. Don't let me go back.
No. Surprise, we got out.
City Girl Runs ask, favourite race ever?
Favourite race ever?
Was that the one? Are you remembering that race where you walk down the street just banging everyone out of the way?
Yeah.
Because it's a bittersweet.
I must say, it's got to be, it has to be London Marathon for me.
Yeah.
It might even be my first London Marathon where I totally hit the wall. I ran it as a fit footballer, not much training, over 16 miles. I was really tired, but very good-natured towards the... Maybe that was the first time I realised that how chatty I could get when I'm really tired with Ollie on the runners. I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was totally broken up and out into everyone else. Yeah. Everyone was passing me the last few miles.
Yeah.
But it was the beginning of a... an addiction and a relationship and a love affair with that marathon.
Yeah.
There's something about it that I love. And I know that I'm a bit cocooned by it because, you know, we can get in.
Yeah,
which is
nice.
Massive because so many people
can't. But we're aware.
Yeah, and also I know there's loads of other marathons out there. And the only other one I've run is York, which I love for totally different reasons. But there's something about the support of London.
Yeah,
I've always leaned into
that canal canter thing. It was just the opposite experience.
Yeah,
it was just, you know, and yet both wonderful. So the same in that way.
What was it? What would you say?
Well, do you know what? I could answer a few things. You know, I could say the first time I did Yorkshire, and it feels like it was my kind of goth race.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that the mist was going to lift. It never did.
Yeah.
I heard a lot of Bauhaus and Cure.
Yeah.
I felt like Jodie Foster at the beginning of Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
And then I got my PB.
Yeah.
That was very special.
Yeah.
And there's some really special runs and just park runs.
Yes.
Oh, when I did a park run in the stately home, the one in West Wales.
Yeah.
Was really nice.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go for a left field choice. I said my favourite race because it's the best story. And you have heard this story. It's when I came last in the dad's race.
Right.
After doing all my running.
Yeah.
Turning up in my lycra so everyone thought, so he reckons himself.
Who's this guy?
Running as fast as I could.
Yeah, yeah.
And coming last. There's a beauty to that.
Yeah. I did have some good... there was a 5K race when I was a kid when I got my 5K PB. It was just on a... I often find sometimes the best races, particularly the short ones, tend to come when you're not really focusing on them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They just almost catch you by surprise.
Yes.
And I was sort of fit, but it was the end of it had been a disappointing track season. It was a time in my life where I was really committed to track, but at the same time coming up against my lack of speed, really.
Yeah, right.
Which you're not particularly aware of. But
just
I
topping out.
Yeah, I was. I was just like, I just wasn't as fast as the kids at my club.
Yeah.
I was sort of fast for a school level, but once it went beyond that... So I had a disappointing summer. I ended up running in the adults 5K race. I was about 17 on the track. And just aware while I was running that although I was near the back of the field, I was running faster and more sustained than I ever had.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did 16:44 for 5K. And I'm nowhere near that now.
No, but you've...
But I remember that feeling, running on the heat of a summer evening at Middlesbrough Stadium.
Yeah.
No one really been interested. That's a great thing about running, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can be in the middle of a brilliant experience and no one else knows about it.
Yeah, yeah, that's
it's
right.
It's just you. It's just you
yours.
Having it. There I was, like, third from last, having the race of my life.
Well, that's part of your experience of being a fast runner.
Yeah, yeah.
You end up, your bar just moves completely.
Yes.
You know, when you got your sub-3, we talk about it. I know that you know now it's a major achievement, but I think at the time, you're just looking at other people in the club saying, oh, so-and-so did 240.
Yes, yeah,
so-and-so
of course.
Done
253
times. You know?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You know, it's just, everyone's got someone
who's fast.
Who makes them feel like their achievement is rated
at normal.
This guy's running with a parachute on.
Yeah, is that sort of resistance training?
Nice.
Yeah.
He looks like
a sort of football sprinting.
That's impressive.
So, a range of... And also, I did when I got my park run PB at Manchester.
Yeah.
That was when I was training hard for York Marathon. I'd had just a couple of days off before the park run.
Yeah.
Mostly through happenstance. Didn't really want it.
Yeah.
And then I did the 18:35 there.
Yeah.
Just felt really strong. I just felt like... This is good. This feels good.
Yeah, I don't even know what the time was, but I think after I did Berlin, which, of course, was a bit of a write-off, but a bit like what you were saying, it was a really fast write-off.
Yes, yeah.
You know, I blew it out and didn't get the time I wanted, but it was coming from a place of training and fitness. And then a fortnight later, I did the Royal Parks half.
Yeah.
Yeah, just kind of skipping around it, you know, because I hadn't thought of it as being the main thing.
Right.
But you've got this kind of fitness that you saved up for this event.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Squandered.
That residual.
Oh, damn it, everything's rubbish.
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah.
Anyway, I'll go and do this half marathon. Woo!
That's
la, la, la!
That's a great thing about training for marathons, isn't it? Regardless of...
Just get this picture. Go on.
Irregardless of how fast you run them, through the process of doing it, you've got really, really fit.
That's right, not to mention all the other stuff, like the actual psychological experience of it. I just wanted the picture of that.
Yeah, straight down the line.
100-meter track in the field.
Yeah.
This guy's doing a football training.
Yeah, it is a nice atmosphere.
So, This is the last question.
Right.
On the first page.
All right. Okay.
If you, this is a weird, I don't know. Okay, well, let's have the question.
Let's just do it, yeah.
If you could only run one distance for all your future races,
right,
what would it be and why?
Ooh. Ooh, that is a tough one, isn't it?
It's tough.
That is a
tough question.
That because, is a tough one.
You know, you could say, oh, marathon, because marathons have been exciting and special.
Yes, yeah.
But that's really far.
It
basically
means
you can only run two races a year. Give or take.
Yes.
And
yeah.
Sooner or later, you're going to not be able to.
Although you may be, you'd end up just running slow marathons more, wouldn't
yeah,
you?
That's true. It is a great distance.
It is.
Then equally, you could say, I'll never run any more racy races, but I'm just going to make it 5K and I'll go to a park run every Saturday for the
but
rest of the
a, but there's a limit to what you can find out about yourself in a 5K, isn't there? In terms of like running as an exploratory tool for who you are in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
Park runs are great.
That's good. Running as an exploratory tool for who you are in the world.
But you know, marathons are a... Just checking that sound. Yeah. Marathons are a great... 5Ks are great. They're a great tempo run, aren't they? They're great, you know, competitive...
In a way...
Sting every week.
I think the most you can get out of a park run, and this is part of the reason park run exists, is it's a... It's a body of work. You don't get to one park run.
No, you're right. That's
you go
that's
to
a
it
nice
over time.
Yeah, and you get a cluster of times over the year, don't you?
Whereas plenty of people could run one marathon in their life and take that with them as a valuable experience.
So for me, I think it would be the marathon. And some I'd run to race and some I'd just run.
Yeah.
But I reckon if I had run an ultra and really enjoyed it, I'd probably just say ultras.
Yeah, that's right.
Because for me, running is a way of... understanding myself better.
I mean, I don't think I could do it. I don't think I'd want to only run one distance.
No, of course, because I love the variety of
and
distances.
They all serve different purposes.
Yes, of course.
I mean, I think Kate Carter was so right when she said that calling a half marathon denigrates it in a way it doesn't deserve.
Yes, yeah.
Because that's a great distance.
It is a lovely distance,
because you can run it as a regular runner.
Yeah.
You could just say, right, I'll go and do a half marathon, but it's going to cost you.
Yes.
That's you know you've run. You know, it's basically the beginning of... endurance.
Yes,
it's
a tough old race.
That
is
far. Yes. You're going to burn all the energy in your body when you run
absolutely.
And they're going to be out there for a little while.
But of course the answer to that is we like a variety of different of distances. Yeah.
Fartlek. I want to always run fartlek.
Yeah.
Good, interesting question.
Yeah, it was a good question, yeah.
Thank goodness we don't have to... Okay,
yeah,
Simon says...
Simon says...
Given the profanity in recent podcast editions... Yeah, sorry about that.
Sorry.
Do you have a marathon threshold where the swear words outnumber normal words? What's your favourite running swear word? Now, this is definitely a question for Paul because... I haven't heard any swear.
Yeah.
Except maybe when I fall over.
Yes, yeah.
And I think, I said it's a question for you, but I'm now going to...
Yeah, go for
I
it.
I think the fact, it's a little bit sad really, I think, because I think the reason a couple of bombs slipped in recent weeks was before you had your operation.
Yes, maybe,
And I think that you were suffering a bit.
I was a little bit
in
pain.
Out.
I try not to, we try not to swear.
Yeah.
I've sworn in the marathon.
I mean,
when I get really tired,
and when you drop that sweet, that time.
Yes, when I drop the sweet, yes, yes. But for me, it's occasional use of the F word.
Yeah.
And that's it, really. I mean, it's just. But I try not to. We try not to because we believe that it diminishes the value of the communication.
Yeah,
it's nice to be expressive and creative.
And to put it in the context of the running, I think if you're swearing more and more, I mean, it was Simon himself said that he felt he'd gone to the more swear words and normal words around the 22 mile mark, which is, I think it's a bad sign, you know.
Yeah. It's although
a,
I understand
it's
it.
Suffering. We hear you, we've been there.
I totally understand
but I think
it.
If
and
you're
I probably
thinking
have been there myself.
In terms of this year's episodes, that they really were directly related to poor Paul's operation.
Yes, yeah.
Of course, long term listeners to the show all really enjoyed the original bomber, who was Rachel Ann Connell,
yes,
who finds a kind of lyricism in her swearing.
Who just drove right through our no swearing policy.
She said, is it okay if I swear? And we said, well, not really. And she went, okay.
Yeah. Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
And Rachel Ann Cullen, friend of the show, actually asks us our next question.
Does she really?
Yeah.
You ready? She was interesting because she was just a foot second diverge. Because we did, hers was our second podcast of the day, wasn't it?
Yes.
We'd done Tony Auden's show that morning.
Yep.
A little bit hungover.
Yep.
And then we drove to Rachel Ann Cullen to do what was meant to be a kind of chilled out 5 mile, but ended up being quite a hilly seven.
Yeah, they were both 5 to 7s over hills.
Yes, yeah.
And then,
and she's quite sprightly. She wasn't running at full pelt by any means, but she was. I was struggling to stay with her.
Yeah, that's
that
right.
Second run, I wasn't that fit. I was hung over.
And it was great. You know, everyone loved that episode.
Oh, it was lovely. She's a brilliant character.
So much of the response was people loving Rachel swearing and saying, "Oh, you were really tired. She's faster than you. You were so tired." So I saw quite a lot in the weeks after that run.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean,
and I said sod off a few times.
We might have sworn more that one if we'd have had energy to speak.
Yeah, yeah, I think that you were saying. Yeah. Anyway, Rachel, Hi, Rachel. You've just come up. Are your faces made out of plasticine? Now, we were talking about this last week.
Yeah.
We're gurners.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I have been described on occasion as a rubber-faced loon.
Yeah.
By various magazines, so
yeah, that's accurate.
Let's hope it keeps going. I mean, as you get older, does the elasticity fade in the face?
No,
let's hope not. No, expressive faces,
and a little hello there to a friend of the show.
Yeah, really, yeah, absolutely.
What are you? We're staying with the kind of more base end of things,
right?
What are each of you's most embarrassing, humiliating code browns on a long run? Yeah. This is from Grumpy Tired Dad, whose last long run pre-London featured his wife standing guard while he relieved discomfort on a pavement outside a church.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness, that's tough, isn't it? I mean, with me, it's more, they all just fade into one.
I mean, not physically.
No, for me, it's a good run when you don't need to dash to a toilet or behind a tree or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So sort of.
But as you were saying before, you're a bit of a ninja for finding an appropriate environment.
Finding space, finding a little nook
and
cranny. That's
Paul's second book, is a guidebook to all the places in London you can drop the kids off.
Yeah, squatting with Tonks. So, and that's also a lot of the reason why you run through woods a lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're just a bit more safer.
We're like bears in that way.
I always remember it wasn't embarrassing, but I always remember our attack on the Costa Coffee on Upper Street once. Do you remember when we were going for a run?
Yeah, yeah.
And we both did it. I went first, and you. By the end, they had to form a cordon around the calf.
Yeah, yeah.
We obliterated that place.
I mean, I think, it's not really the ideal, well, it is the ideal word, and that's why it's a bit on the nose. I think I'm a bit anal about it.
Right.
I think if it's not going to be possible,
right,
the whole system shuts down with me.
Right, okay, cool.
So it's unlikely to come up when I'm out.
Yeah, I'm a bit more laissez-faire, I imagine. Yeah. With a copy of the concept.
Oh, I'm so glad we're talking about this. It's funny because we're in the very scene where we had the original drop the kids off at the pool conversation.
Did it really?
Yeah. Right. But anyway... Right. Yeah, we also had the wasp in the pork pie conversation on this
right.
spot.
It's one of those...
I didn't think I had one. And then I remembered that once I was coming home from a run thinking... And I had misjudged it.
Right.
I'd had to kind of stop and walk very stiffly a couple of times already.
Right, yeah.
And I got to my house.
Yeah.
And I found that I'd lost my key.
Oh, no.
Woohoo!
Oh, no.
I had to go to the garage. Luckily, there's a garage up my road.
Yes.
I was like, hello, friends.
Yes.
Can you help? And then the next few minutes of my life were very much like that scene in Trainspotting.
Yes, yeah.
Where Renton... Yeah. Has to retrieve his suppositories.
Yeah.
And that is my easily the most...
I wonder to what extent it's a mental thing as well, because in me, I often think I'm too laissez-faire with it, yeah. So I see possibilities where others don't.
Yeah, you're kind of... You're a bit like a dog that has to wee on every tree. Well, I may as well make my mark here.
But yours seems slightly more...
It's the opposite.
Yeah, but possibly the more normal end of the spectrum. Like, I'm out running. This isn't a possibility. Yeah. So let's just cut that avenue off, you know.
Well, I think, I'm sure I'm pretty uptight about it. But equally, I find that my whole digestive system... This is a bit of a serious thing, but my digestive system shuts down when I run.
Right.
On a short run...
Yeah.
I don't need to go to the toilet, and on the marathon stuff, I tend to get, it all kind of clenches up and cramps up.
Right.
And I can't eat afterwards or anything.
Right,
just no, we're not going to do that.
Yeah, for me,
we're not going three times around, are
no,
we?
No, I don't think so.
We're just heading off the beautiful marshes.
Yeah, for me, I often find even like a park run gets the system going. Like you need a good bog before a park run. Because it's all so exciting.
God, it's quite funny. It's quite ironic because I think to a certain extent that question has opened the floodgates.
Yeah.
All right then. What's been your favourite race of the year?
Favourite race of this year? Well, it's the London Marathon.
It was the London Marathon.
London Marathon.
It was special that we had such a different experience with it. Having done it before.
Big breakthrough in terms of real enjoyment of a slower marathon.
Yep.
First marathon I'd not raced ever, really. You know, just to run for fun.
Yeah.
And really enjoying it, realising the fun you can have doing it. You
absolutely.
Know,
I'll second
was
that.
Was a real breakthrough.
I'll throw out a mention for a few... runs hadn't done before.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed the Manchester Half.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah.
Park runs, the Town Moor Park run in Newcastle was fantastic.
Right.
Nice. Portobello Park run the other day.
Yeah.
Got to the first time.
Yeah.
Portsmouth. But then I haven't yet done a park run that made me think, oh, I do much like that one.
No, they're all great. They're all good in the
it's
different ways.
It's lovely to do new ones. And they are different.
Yeah.
They're the same and different, just in just the right amount.
It kind of makes me realise a little bit of sadness. I haven't raced much this year. A lot of that's been injuries, little back things and the hernia. I just haven't raced as much. I've done a few park runs.
Canal Cancer, I forgot to mention. That was pretty
Yes,
special.
Yeah. No, I really want to race more in the autumn.
Yeah. Well, we're going to do that, but you take care. Don't do it yet. What's your preferred? This is a nice technical question. Mm. What's your preferred? That was Andrew. Did I say it was Andrew last time? Anyway.
Thank you, Andrew.
This one is from Sam.
Yeah.
What's your preferred fueling strategy for marathons, particularly when it comes to gels versus real food?
Right. Well, this took me a while to realise. And everyone's different, isn't it? Everyone's an experiment of one.
Yeah.
So when we say this, it might not work for other
Which
people.
Which is harsh for me because I'm the control group.
Yeah. I like a placebo. Now, I...
Alcoholic.
I ended up with on the morning of the race, pre-race, about 2.5 hours before, just a combination. Well, I mean, it really starts in the 3 days before the marathon, doesn't
it? Yes, okay, good.
Let's just take it back. I mean... And I have realised that a bit of carb loading works for me.
Yes.
I don't necessarily do the depletion phase of not eating carbs like 6 days before for a few days. But in the 3 days
before... You don't really hear about that anymore. That's one of your old stories. I've heard
But that was something that was really big in the 80s. You'd start a week before, you'd have 3 days of eating no carbs.
Yeah.
And then you'd just overload with carbs in the 3 days before.
I can see how that would work.
Yeah,
because
I can
your
see
body would go, please give me carbs. I promise I'll use them well.
Yeah, I can see the sense of it. But it was more sort of extreme times.
Yeah.
But now I've just started, just the last few days, just increasing the ratio of carbs to protein and everything else, yes. having pesto for breakfast.
Yes.
Like you do, really good quality carbs.
Yes.
That's crucial, isn't it?
Absolutely. And then once you get to the race?
And then morning of the race, I'll have some malt loaf, which is an old Vassos trick.
Yes, Vass got you onto that.
Old malt loaf and banana, coffee and water.
Yeah.
Not over obsessing about hydration.
Yep.
Because I think it's one of those things that people obsess about, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
And fill themselves up and overhydrate. There's no need. You know when your body's thirsty, you know when it isn't.
Yeah, that's right.
And then during the race itself, I have a little bit often with water.
Yep.
Like London, you're awash with water.
Yeah, I think you
every
generally...
Every water station I have a little.
There's one every mile and you'll generally have some.
Yeah, I'll normally have a little... It's just a little bit often, little sips.
Yep.
And every now and again from my serious marathons, I'm trying to run fast, I'll have a bit of the sports drink, but not a lot, just a little sugar rush.
Oh, yeah.
A fifth or sixth of a bottle.
They're a good band, though, aren't they?
Yes.
Little sips.
And I'll have gels.
We got plasters on our nips.
And I'll have gels every 40 minutes.
Yep.
Like goo gels.
Yeah.
So that'll be like four or five a race.
Yes.
And that's what I do.
Well, mine is very similar. I think that, you know, assuming we're doing a half marathon and a marathon.
Yeah.
Because if I was going for a run, I don't eat.
Yeah, like
just coffee and water.
Today I haven't eaten.
Yeah.
And I prefer that. I like to eat on a morning off no food.
But if we're running more than 10 miles, and that's it's a marathon, I would have a small oat-based breakfast. So a pack of oat cakes or a little bowl of muesli, but small.
Right.
Like a sort of handful dose.
Yeah.
Fruity, you know, dried fruit in it, glass of orange juice on the side, banana.
Right. Nice, yeah.
And, like you said, in the days before, I'll eat jacket potatoes, brown rice, pasta.
Yes, nice.
Beetroot juice, beetroot flapjacks.
What a great stage of training that is as well, isn't it? If you've earned the taper and you can ease off the last few days and you feel your leg and system getting stronger and you're filling up on carbs,
just
putting all that fuel in your body.
Just before London Marathon, I went to the cinema and in my pocket... extra jacket potato.
Yeah.
That was one of the best things I ever did.
Isn't it great? Isn't it fab?
Sitting in the cinema, nibbling on a tater.
Yeah, that's great.
I got my nips taped up. I'll see you later. I love little nips.
It's great.
Little sips, I mean. And then
during the race, do you...
So that would be about an hour and a half, 2 hours before.
Yeah.
And then I'm a little bit... I just got this idea that once you start on the gels, you're on a roller coaster then.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that. But I got this theory that you're burning the fuel in your body for 90 minutes and then it's gone.
Right.
So I would skip...
Oh, sorry.
I would go... I would not have a gel till an hour and a half in.
Right.
And then go sort of every 40 minutes after that.
Right.
So you'd only get to two or three in a marathon.
Yeah.
Although conversely, I thought when I did my fastest marathon, I had three gels.
Yeah.
And one of them was not that far from the finish line.
Right.
My guts are in a right state afterwards.
Yeah.
And I blame the gels, but I don't think it was the gels.
Right.
I think that's just running a fast marathon.
Yes, just the stress of it all.
I don't have... gels with caffeine in anymore.
Right.
Not because I don't believe in caffeine, I just think I've already got plenty on board.
Yeah.
And I felt really ill after a caffeine-y coffee gel in New York.
Right.
So I really regretted that.
Yeah, it's one of those things that you find your own way with, don't you? But it's a basic thing. For years I was massively resistant to gels.
Yeah.
Just because no one ever did them when I was young.
Yeah, they weren't a thing.
I just took it as a sign of weakness, some kind of new age thing, and then I've just felt the benefit. You
yeah,
know?
I think also, Sam Hiss, what's your favourite? I honestly don't believe that the flavours matter, because once you've run,
as long as you're okay with it,
exactly.
Yeah.
Once you've run 18 miles, none of them are going to taste great.
No,
I always just try and get them down.
Yeah, they're all,
and then have a little bit of water afterwards.
Yeah, I'd have water with them.
And the other thing is, I'm much more reconciled now to the fact that a couple of minutes after you've had one, you're going to feel a bit queasy.
Yes.
But you'll be fine. And then, because then a half hour after you've had them, or 20 minutes even, you can feel them working.
Yeah, you feel the strength.
So it's worth going.
You feel them moving down to your legs.
Yeah, it's worth riding out the queasy.
Yeah.
And I see, you know, you see people at Wimbledon doing it. I think if you want to embrace it and start on the gels before you even start the endeavour.
But you see people eating bananas, and it's whatever works, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, we have no bananas.
We have no bananas.
Taking little sips, plasters on my nips. Do you ever feel like you're in a slump?
Right.
Would you recommend plodding through or to take a break from running altogether, says Amjid. And Flo said, yeah, exactly. And she rephrases the question, When is it time to stop?
Interesting.
I'm not sure that either you or I, and I'm being completely subjective here, this is not my recommendation, but I don't think either of us are stoppers.
No, I mean, I think it's important not to feel a victim of your own running program.
Yes.
I think it's important to realise that
it's supposed to be fun.
Yeah, it's something that you freely choose.
Yep.
And even if you've chosen a hard schedule, you've chosen that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you're claiming power over your body. You feel the transformation.
Yep.
And if at any point you feel a victim of it, I would advocate pulling back a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's something I'm really guard against.
Yeah, I think
so. You know, if I'm going to go for a race, I really think hard about whether I'm prepared to do that.
Yeah, that's
and what it's about.
And sometimes you just know. You know, I mean, I remember going on a long training run, expecting to run 20 miles.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks before a marathon.
Yeah.
And just physically, hormonally, maybe I was lost.
Yes.
I just got to like 12.
Yeah.
And this is a big training schedule, so
yes,
12 miles was well within my power, theoretically.
Yeah.
And I just thought, yeah, I'm going home.
Yes,
I knew it was the right thing to do.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Sometimes you hit a wall.
But these are the only times I would do it. I'd do it within a run. I think if I stopped running, like, for a week or 2 weeks, that would scare me, because I'd be worried I was never going to run again.
I just feel really miserable. I mean, if I can't run, I kind of accept that it makes me feel better, it makes my life better.
I would absolutely advocate mixing it up.
Yeah.
It's like you say, if you're not enjoying it, don't stop it, change it.
Yes.
Now, going back to the question earlier about what event you want to do, if you don't enjoy a half marathon, just start running
just
more often, less distance.
Yes, yeah,
faster,
yeah.
Faster, slower.
Yes.
You know, the long lesson of my running experience is learn to get three-dimensional, change it.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
You know, run long distances, short distances, slow, fast, hot, uphill, flat, you know. So I would say change it in this context, change is as good as a rest.
Yeah.
Because I haven't got a comparable experience. I haven't had a running slump.
Yes,
So I think that maybe it's possible that your training schedule is too rigid.
Yeah.
And like you say, as Paul says, I remember years ago someone said, I'm just not enjoying it. And you said, well, don't do it then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, sometimes I'm like, I don't feel particularly competitively keyed into being fast or something, but I always enjoy my running. But I think because I've reached a stage where I find it enjoyable in itself.
Yeah.
It has intrinsic value as an activity. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it to be fitter.
There's more to running than training.
I just like the act of running.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
enough for me. So, and if I didn't, I'd do something else.
Yeah.
So I don't know where we are with those.
So if you want to stop, stop.
Yes.
Is the first position.
Yes, of course.
But secondly, mix it up.
Yeah.
It's your run. If you're not enjoying it, don't do it.
Yeah, yeah. Don't beat yourself up.
There are other things you can do other than stop.
Don't beat yourself up. Don't let others beat you up. This is your thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not just training, you know. If the training for an event is making you miserable, cancel the event.
Yes, yeah.
But keep running.
Yeah.
You know, because I remember, I still hold by this. I remember when I first signed up for a half marathon and a marathon.
Yeah.
I thought that I hope doing these things doesn't spoil running for me.
Right.
I just think I'm a runner first and a event doer second.
Yes, same here. I feel that. And also if you're maybe stuck in rigid patterns, run different routes, take the watch off. I rarely run with a watch.
Is that how he runs then? Richard Patton's.
Yes, yeah. But, I take the...
Something about the rubbish that said that joke really tickled me. And then I couldn't... I just really made my top tummy muscles go.
Spasming.
I nearly fell over.
So, most of my runs are without a watch, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether that makes it more enjoyable.
That was someone the other day. It's not on the list. Someone the other day was saying, I'm having trouble maintaining a steady pace.
Yeah.
And that's interesting. I'm confident that everyone's got a steady pace in them.
Right.
The first thing to do is to get the watch off.
Yeah.
And maybe the trick is to still measure. So stick a phone in your back pocket.
Yes.
And then just go out and try as hard as possible to let your body decide how fast you go.
Yeah.
And I think when you get back, you'll find you've been running about the same speed.
Yeah, I'll just start the phone as you leave the door and pick it when you get back in and take off 20 seconds or so and you'll find your pace.
Yeah, just divide it. Yeah, that's right. Because it can be you can definitely think about it too hard.
Yeah.
All right. This is great. That was a good question, though.
Yes, it was, yeah.
What's your favourite running memory? Asks runner's knees.
Mm.
While you're thinking about it, I'm going to dismiss runner's knees' second question.
Yeah.
Which is, if they created an edible lube, which is simultaneously an anti-chafe gel and a carb gel, what flavour would you like? That's a stupid question. We're not going to answer it.
They're the real issues. That's only a matter of time, isn't it?
It's going to happen.
Before that.
Excuse me, mate. Do you mind if I lick under your armpits?
Because be some kind of
I'm
caramel.
Really fading.
Caramel.
Oh my god.
Caffeato.
Oh, is this caramel. Marmite flavour? Yeah. I'm not actually wearing any, mate. Oh my god!
Yeah. Your favourite running memory?
What? When I asked the question, what leapt into your head? Trying to take it, snatch it.
Probably the end of the sub three.
Yeah.
In London. Just a sense of relief. That's yes. Should we run away from that?
Yeah, good.
Just
yeah.
the.
No, I think we should hammer through like Tenpin Bowling. Yeah. This sports day needs to be taken down.
Because that's the great thing about running, and the irony of it is the absolute joy you feel when you stop racing
yeah.
at the end of a race.
There is something it's incredible something about the end of the London Marathon.
Yeah, the end of any hard race. I mean, yeah. Bath Half Marathon or York Marathon, anything where you've really gone for it.
Yeah. But coming along that embankment, we came up and those beats were going.
Yes.
Using your sub three.
Yeah.
The
it's amazing.
The hot year when I ran a fairly easy marathon, but I picked up, I got back into running at that time.
Yeah.
And then there was a great song playing. It was Kick Dunk Twist by Sylvanesso.
Right.
And I saw my mum with a bit of a teary hug.
Nice,
and,
nice.
You know, that kind of last mile of
yes.
of any race, like you say.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, it's actually probably when I realised I'd done the sub three.
Yeah.
When I was sprinting down the mile, I'd turned the last corner and saw 2:59 and just like legged it. And then I looked up, I was about 40 metres away and it was like 2:59, 16 seconds.
Yeah.
And I just thought, I've got it now. I could walk from
it. It's going to happen. Yeah,
so
yeah,
I was just
yeah.
like, that knowledge, that so moment of realising that I'd done it.
And that's
it
a marriage, isn't it?
Was
that's
fantastic.
The marriage of actually knowing you'd done it
yeah.
while it was happening, rather than
yes.
looking back on it.
No, it was just a lovely, lovely moment
yeah.
of sweary joy.
Because, you know, once you go over the line,
yeah.
your life goes back into
it's
black and white.
It's kind of done there a bit, yeah.
terrible.
And all, but it's also that moment of realising that I was with... in the little pocket of people who are feeling exactly the same thing.
Yes, of course.
It was just really, really brilliant, nice to feel that, yeah.
I have to say that you know, that is the quintessential one, isn't it? But a couple of times I've just had a music-based
yes.
incredible joy, like sort
yeah.
of physical high.
Yes.
Running particularly in loads of places all over Britain
yeah.
and the world, but particularly up on the Morven Peninsula in Scotland.
Right.
Running out there and looking out to the Hebrides.
That sounds amazing.
And listening to kind of public service broadcasting and
yeah.
underworld and...
brilliant.
Just, and really, like, we're coming up on it, basically.
That sounds incredible, yeah. And that's a very private moment.
It's a completely different thing, yeah. It's
yes.
not an event at all.
Yes.
And it is not just the run, it's the music, so it's really transcendental.
You get those moments sometimes... I'll get those moments where I'm running and you just stop in the middle of it and it might be you might be a bit tired or
yep.
a bit
we're in the tunnel again
the tunnel coming back you just get those moments where they're just very private moments of exhilaration and sometimes a bit of melancholy all kinds of emotions
yeah that's right
but it's you're connecting
it's
to something
isn't it you're
yes.
spending time with yourself
yeah
in a deep way that you can get through a whole week without doing if
yeah
you don't go
and that's something that we talk about a bit about why we like running so much. It's like, it's a private experience shared, isn't it?
Yeah.
In races and stuff.
And it's a little process, you know. It takes
yeah.
you. And something we've talked about quite a lot in the past that I haven't talked about for a while is that sense that when you go out for a run, whether it is Race to the Stones or 5 miles on a Wednesday morning, when you come back, you've your life's moved forward a little bit.
Yes, you've changed. You've
changed.
Yes, yeah. That is nice. It's a daily shedding of skin, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
yeah.
It's like time travel.
Yeah, it is. We're very lucky, aren't we?
Yeah, we love it.
All of us. The people asking questions and us just to run and share it is
yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And we're doing all right. You know, there's a few more of these. I feel like we can get them in. We can do this.
Well, let's
Green
see if
man,
we can.
Green man. We're crossing Amherst Road, heading back towards N16. The bit of paper with the questions on is horrific now. It's like a sweaty, crumpled ball. Yeah. Do either of you guys have to work on form, or does it come naturally now? I suppose this means
how
you're running form, how you're holding yourself as you go.
It's an interesting one, because when I'm trying to run fast, I get a bit more conscious of form.
Sorry.
Like slow, like fast, quick, shorter steps.
Yeah.
Try to relax my upper body. I think when you're training to run quickly, your body finds the form it needs to run quickest with the least expenditure of energy. I think that's a fascinating thing about the body's adaptation.
And it will do it for you. You've got to try and train it. You've got to try and nudge it towards doing it itself rather than making technical decisions.
I won't want to overthink it, but your body naturally does it, doesn't it? It wants to run. It wants to save energy at all points.
Yes, that's right.
So I've got quite a low sort of scuttling style, but I did make a conscious effort when trying to run a fast marathon to land a little bit more to the front of my foot and cram in a few more strides per minute.
That's interesting.
Just try to up the tempo.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to think about it that hard, because it would do my head in.
Yeah.
But I do think of it in terms of arrows. You know, I can tell when I'm getting tired and when I'm getting slow.
Yeah.
I feel myself kind of curl forwards, and my forwards arrow becomes a downwards arrow.
Yeah.
And if I want to get faster, or I just want to, reset my form when I'm running, it's chest up and try and get my eye line, the point where my focus is, to be kind of 100 feet ahead rather than 3 feet ahead.
So I can definitely feel my form deteriorate when it goes.
Oh, yeah.
But when you're in good shape, you don't feel it. Again, you're searching for that groove, aren't you?
Jason Byrne was bang on with that when he told us all about New York. If you run for a long time on hard surfaces, it kind of hits you in the backs of the legs.
Yeah.
And then you kind of start hunkering down.
Yes.
And it all tightens up into this miserable question
mark.
So my first thought is, I don't really think about it. But it's not true.
Yeah.
I think you have to look up and out and look forward.
Yes. But
equally, it's one of those things, like talking to Melissa, the physio, there isn't really a right answer, because you can correct mistakes in your form, but you kind of, ultimately, you're going to come up against how you naturally hold yourself as a person.
Yeah, it's almost it's like your signature, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a very unique thing, the way people
particularly
run.
Particularly because mine's useless. And
it has to
be your signature.
It has to feel, mine's all right. But it has to just feel natural to you, and you'll find the form that works for you. But at the same time, if you're obviously doing something that looks like you're expending way too much energy, you probably are.
Yeah.
It's just how to fix it.
And then fundamentally, the other thing is, if you're running down the park and walk and you see someone go the other way who waves their arms so much they look like they're conducting an orchestra, good luck to them.
Yeah, of course.
That's their run. Go to it.
Of course, of course.
Who would you love to have on as a guest on Runcom Pod?
Right.
Alive or dead? I think the answer is alive.
Alive, yeah.
Yeah, we'd rather they were alive. Have I misunderstood the question?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Dragging them along. Well, there's a lot there, isn't it? I mean, we're trying to, it seems a little bit high-minded, but we'd like to get some big athletes, and we're making strides to do that.
Yeah, and find out, because it's a nice form of interview. You know, if we can get somebody who's just got a world record or something, we can get them to open up and really tell us about it. You know?
Tell us what that
even
feels
if that
like.
World record didn't involve a panda costume.
Yes, yeah. I mean, I've always liked to. He's a bit ill now. Ron Hill, who's a guy I used to follow a lot when I was young, he ran twice a day and once on Sunday.
Yeah.
For like years and years and years. Yeah, he was an international class athlete up from the north, variety of distances.
Yeah.
Complete legend. I'd love to pick his brain.
Yeah.
Seb Coe, talk to him.
Johnny Marr's a big dream for me.
Yes,
because he so loves to run.
Right.
His attitude to being in a band is so good. And he's a Smith, for goodness sake.
Yes, yeah.
So I just want...
Yeah, you're coming from more of a music...
When I read his book, I thought that would be... That's a dream one.
Yes.
But he's got to be someone who's going to want to go for a run. That's the funny thing.
Yes.
You know, we can't really say Shakespeare.
No.
Because he'd go... I'm Elizabethan.
He didn't fancy it.
No, wait, he was from Stratford, wasn't he? I'm a little bit Elizabethan to go for a run in the world. Why are you doing the moonlight?
I'm just a bit tied up with all my couplets at the moment.
So Jesus is the answer
of
there.
Course,
good question.
Of course.
Thanks, Steve. Excluding their normal question. Hue, what's the best testicle colour? It's purple, isn't it? It's purple.
I'd go for a natural. The natural. Texture.
Caramel.
Colour. Yeah.
We can combine that with Runner's Knee's question about what flavour you want your anti-chafe gel. I don't want it to have a flavour.
It's quite funny, some of these questions, because they're quite sort of earthy. Yeah. And running is an earthy activity.
Yeah, particularly.
It's particularly with us, but it's physical, isn't
it? It's physical.
It's a physical business.
Yeah, that's right.
Some of which are distasteful, but that's life.
What's your favourite place in the world that you've ever run?
I tell you, I've probably, not favourite, but I've had some distinctive runs in... Probably in Iraq.
Oh, wow.
When I was training, I was training for the marathon and doing gigs for the troops.
Yeah.
And running round military bases and with oil fields on fire in the distance and helicopters and just that sense of drama and dry heat and soft undersurface, but just running reps of these military bases on the perimeter.
Yeah. Just such a different experience.
Yes. Yeah.
I used to take it for granted a bit at the time, but looking back, that running in Cyprus was just incredible.
Cyprus was lovely.
Combination of being out in the sun and the hills and cliff tops over the Mediterranean was amazing.
Yes.
But then, like I was saying just now, that running in Scotland is a bit like that.
Yeah.
Right, cracking on. We're not there. I want to do this.
Sorry.
Does pulling a strange face improve running speed? Not really. Okay.
No, it doesn't.
How
matter.
Do I finish?
It doesn't matter.
How do I finish Race to the Stones on Saturday? One, you're not going to hear this till after you've done it.
Yeah.
Two, we don't know. We've never done it.
But I think if you do, give us a shout and tell
us
how to.
You're going to. You know, it's going to be one step, then another step.
Yes.
I heard John McEnroe say on the tennis yesterday, you just got to keep making the other guy hit the ball back.
Yes.
And that's the same like that, only with feet.
Yes.
Not balls. Running on your balls.
Yeah, don't know. don't overthink it.
You're going to manage it, Rachel. It's going to be okay. And as you know, having already done it, it was okay.
Yes.
You did it. Yeah, what memories of your first ever gig? Do you remember your first ever gig?
Yes, my first ever gig was at Salford Comedy Dome in Manchester. I was a young student. I had some poems in my pocket and a dream in my heart, and I got heckled before I got to the mic stand.
I was going to say Salford is a spicy place.
Yeah, well known as a safe haven for student poet comics. I completely died. It was so bad I didn't do a gig for a year. It was a complete baptism of fire. How about you?
I did. I was on a student night in Glasgow.
Right.
And I was on after Phil K.
Yeah.
Which is tough because he got a standing ovation.
On form, that guy's a genius.
I started my gig off by getting him back on for them to cheer him a bit more.
Right,
I fell off the stage deliberately.
Right, okay, yeah.
It went okay.
You're right.
It was quite nice because everyone said, oh, Glasgow, well, that's harsh.
Yeah.
But actually, students, easy.
Yes,
I laugh at any silly rubbish.
It sounds like you had quite a decent gig, actually.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. And also, it wasn't my first time on stage.
Right, okay.
So it didn't have that kind of pure, what am I doing up here? It's just my first stand-up gig.
Right.
It's like coming home. Right, here we go. I'm going to fall over. Thanks.
Have we got loads to go? Because we could leave some for other weeks.
We could leave some, couldn't
we?
Could you both name one current and one retired runner that's inspired you with your running? Mm. Does Ron Hill come under the retired runner?
He does, yeah, but I'd probably go for...
My second one.
You okay?
Yeah, there's an insect in my eye. You'd probably go for...
I'd probably go for... Carlos Lopez, who won the Olympic marathon in 1984 at the age of 37.
Wow.
Very, very chilled Portuguese long-distance runner. Ran with a total smooth form. Just that late flowering in his career. He got really, really fast in his mid to late 30s. Beat all the favourites in the 84 marathon, Di Castella and Alberto Salazar.
Can you see anything in my eye?
Yes, it's just under there, yes. Yeah, you're going to have to rinse that.
Oh, we're nearly home.
Yeah.
Let it wriggle around in there for a bit longer.
Yeah, that's not particularly pleasant. But yeah, Lopez, and also it's me being really into running, staying up all night to watch the 84 Olympics. So,
those are the days.
So Lopez, and then current runners. Let's have a little think. Let me have a think. I like I've got total brain freeze. I think it's because you've hurt your eye.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm a bit concerned. That's all right.
How far do you think we've run today?
I think we've done about...
I
think we've done about, what, 6.5? 7?
You're probably right. Nearly 8.63.
Really? That's a sign of a
nice,
good
relaxed run, isn't it? Yeah,
that's a sign of a good old podcast.
These questions have been great.
I mean, whatever happens, Hayley Gabriel Selassie, obviously.
We might end on a bit of a low note because I've got to go and wash the blooming stag beetle out of my eye. But it's been so great.
No, it's been amazing. Radcliffe's been an inspiration.
Absolutely,
of course.
Yeah, of course.
Who's the Scottish middle distance runner, female, coming through? She's at Moor. She's looking great.
Yeah, yeah.
I get inspiration from all runners, really.
See, and I'm the opposite. I know nothing of any of these people.
Well, you don't have to.
The original, Camille the Heron. Old day one would be Babe in Marathon Man.
Yes.
running in his pyjama trousers away from Willem Devane.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then mid-era would be Jason Bourne on the beach in Goa, training 2 years after the events of the first film. And contemporary, I suppose, Ethan Hunt running along the roof of Blackfriars Bridge with his... Don't you just love Tom Cruise's running style?
Yes. Yeah,
can
you
do that? I'm going to try it. You know, he's running, his knees are out in front of him, his hands are up here like karate chops. That is the best run.
And just runners... I get inspired by a lot of club runners at Heathside, actually. They inspire me loads. The runners in the A group, just the sort of... pain gurus, just the ability to withstand oxygen deprivation and keep good form, and you know, people like Gavin Evans at the club, and
are
just amazing examples of a fit, healthy, long running life. You know, they're always people very close to you.
I don't want to get touchy feely, and we dug into this nicely in last week's episode, but you inspire me, and I'm not just saying that. I mean, one of the first times we went out before we came close to coming up with this idea was when we met in Clissold Park and you said, let's do a bit of fartlek.
Yeah.
I mean, my running changed forever.
And you'd never experienced that.
I'd never run at any different speeds.
Yeah, yeah,
fast. I didn't know there were different speeds.
Yeah. We can play with this.
We can
have fun with this. Yeah,
it's
it was
like
really
I've been
good
eating,
fun.
Imagine if I've been eating beans on toast my whole life and then you came around and said, do you want a sausage?
So listen, this has been a really good, run, and it's been great with the questions as well. We will do it again every few months. We'll pan out for some questions.
Yeah, well, there's some more really questions here. We're going to keep the rest of them. We'll do the rest of them because we're going to do all of them. And then a few months from now, as you say, this is a twice a year event from now on.
Yeah,
and we won't miss any of them. Thanks.
And we'll do the PBs at the end of the summer because I was hungover this morning. And
I want.
Good morning.
If I could interest you in local drawings that I make into cards of this area.
Oh, they're absolutely lovely. I'm not carrying any money.
I do a phone transaction just using my phone number. If
okay. How much are they?
They look really nice.
5 for 1, and I do a deal on 3 for 12.
Okay.
With or without envelope.
And do you sell them anywhere online or anything, or just...
I'll have to explain the studio.
Okay, cool.
126 Milton Grove.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, because they're great, and we're local, so...
Oh, no, they look
nice.
Really good. They look really nice, yeah. No,
that'd
be great. No, we'll pop round. 126 Milton Grove.
126.
Yeah, okay. Okay, brilliant. Alex.
Thanks,
all right, take
Alex.
Care, mate. Thank you. Cheers, love.
thank you, questioners. Have a nice time in America, Paul.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it. I'll come back a lot fitter.
And remember, after all those points about our faces, we need a picture of us. I'll be Popeyeing it with my insect eye.
Alex. Crashed by the artist.
Yeah, damn it. Running with Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.